stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 181 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show of recap and results this weekend. A bit's happened since we spoke to you this time last week. Welcome to my co-host Dan Anglesey, Julian Spence. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's been happening in your life?
Well, I've been doing a bit of running. Got through a good week. Oh, well, okay week, pretty good week. And now I'm sitting on the couch talking to two real cool guys.
That's a good start to the week, I reckon, Monday night. And my other co-host up in Canberra, actually. Are you home, Brad? We still down the coast.
Yeah, got home this afternoon.
Your home was away during the weekend down the coast, but now he's back home. Welcome to this week's show.
Thanks, Brady. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going well. We actually are back at school today. Were you back at school?
Yeah, I think so, but as relief, I didn't get the call up, and even if I did, I wouldn't be able to work because I was down the coast for Dad's 70th. So it was 8 adults and 5 kids all under one roof for 3 nights. So it was fun but hectic.
Very busy. Big night as well for the 70th?
Well, it's actually his birthday today. But we had...
What's his name?
Stan.
Stan. Give him a shout out. Does he listen to the show?
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Doesn't
so he?
No, he doesn't.
Nah. Why would you?
Yeah. He, so we had yesterday somebody come over and cater lunch at the Airbnb. So that was sort of yesterday afternoon was the main sort of festivities.
Very good.
They cooked it up in the
yeah. Airbnb. They cooked it up in the house. Did all the dishes. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I was there trying to watch a bit of the nationals while we were sort of having lunch and stuff. Yeah. But, yeah. No, it was a good weekend.
Phone. Get the phone up sideways on the table.
Yeah, I had the phone up.
And then, we went out Sunday afternoon as well, and I had to set a couple of, timers on my phone. I'm like, okay, I just need to remember this stuff's on. Don't get too distracted at this adventure at. Remember there's some athletes to watch on your phone at some stage. It's pretty exciting, though. Oh, we were out there was, I'm not sure if the council's down your way is doing similar things. Like, they're trying to pump money into, having events. So we had, a music festival, in the park. Benny, actually, he headlined it, but we had to go just before he started. Bad time, and Hudson was kind of losing it a bit. But they probably had, 3 hours of, live music, jumping castles for the kids, food trucks.
Hudson was losing it. Fisher was there.
Yeah, he loved it. No, good reference. Just a bit too long sitting in the pram for him, I think. He wasn't really into he liked the music a bit, but, yeah, too long. So we had to go home, but that's okay. So I was there, but I got home in time to watch the men's 1500 metres, which we'll speak about a bit later on, which I just found was super fascinating and exciting to watch.
Did you? Yeah. It was pretty, we'll talk about it later,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, we will. Try to keep that excitement high for when we get to that in the running news part of the show. Croaks, you want to go first? Interrupted week down the coast. How did that impact things?
It was so I'll start Monday. So I came off the back of that pacing job on the Sunday. So I wasn't really sure how the week was going to play out. I knew I wanted to get at least one session in, two if I felt okay. So I definitely committed to missing Tuesday afternoon session. So Monday was just an hour, 4:15s. I actually didn't feel too bad running. I was more just tired just from the weekend, a couple of nights of really poor sleep. But in terms of the running, I felt okay. And then Tuesday, I felt pretty ordinary, actually. So I was glad that I decided not to do a session. So just 4:22s for just under 11K. Went to the gym on Wednesday morning and then went out to do, when I left home, I'm like, I'll do anywhere between sort of 60 and 80 minutes, depending on how I feel. And every time that I do gym in the morning and then go for a run in the afternoon, I have felt so good. which, you know, a lot of people say, like, and because I don't lift super heavy weight, so it's not like my legs are completely like dead. It's more, I guess, I've just activated everything at the gym. So I ended up doing 80 minutes, and from about maybe 10 or 11K, I'm like, oh, I feel all right. I might just do like a bit of sort of unplanned sort of tempo over the sort of hills. So it was rolling sort of 4 minutes, and then just ended up having probably 6 or 7K that were between sort of 3:45s and 3:25s. It was more, probably more on the flat and downhill section that I was rolling quick. So I ended up doing 80 minutes at 3:53 average. Because the guys that I've been training with, their sessions for the week were going to be like a monofartlek and a like a 30-minute hilly tempo. And I knew that I'd be down the coast on the weekend. It was dead flat, so there's no chance of me doing anything hilly down there for session. So did that.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
You ever heard of activated almonds?
I've heard of, yes, I have heard of activated almonds. But I don't
Do you know the Pete guy? What's his name? Pete, the COVID guy.
Pete Evans.
Pete Evans. He was that guy, wasn't he?
Do you know how you activate an almond?
No.
Oh, I was just wondering if it was the same way you activate your glutes.
Glutes. I've got no idea.
Talk to me about activating your glutes. I want to know the science behind it.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that, I'm guessing it's you're activated, but I just know that when I've gone to the gym in the mornings and done some like weighted glute bridges, some leg press, some core, some glute med exercises, some like single legged sort of squat stuff, and hamstring curls, like if I went for a run straight after that, I think my legs would feel a little bit, I'd feel a bit funny running. But like if I go running 3 or 4 hours after that, I feel awesome. So it also might be the fact that just being active for an hour at the gym, whereas most of the time I'm sort of, not moving around probably as much. Then when I go for a run, I feel pretty ordinary because I haven't moved that much for the day.
Like you're warmed up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be more of, that just my body is just looser. But yeah, I guess most people would call it activation. But yeah. Does that answer it okay?
Yeah, well, I'm wondering because I have pretty positive experience with doing a few like exercises before I run, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure I'm not sure why. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, maybe one of the strength and conditioning guys can tell us.
Mm.
There's definitely something in it because just about every time that I do gym, I feel awesome in the afternoon. Whereas I don't always feel the same if I just do a few like single-legged bridges at home before I go for the run. Like if I just do like 10 or 15 minutes at home before I go, I don't probably feel the same as I do if I've done a full hour at the gym 3 or 4 hours beforehand.
Yeah, I ain't doing a full hour before. I guess you could do it before you jog, but you'd be pretty fatigued if you...
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I said. If I went for a run straight after gym, my legs would feel a bit more like jelly. Whereas, I went to the gym at probably 11 and then I ran at 4 o'clock. So by that stage, my legs had recovered and, I don't lift weights heavy enough that my legs are completely like shot.
What are you squatting?
I don't do squat. I do leg press. And so I stack 150 kilos on the machine. And I think it's 50 kilos to start with. So... Yeah, so about 190 or something. So it's like three times my weight.
Squat. About what I squat.
Yeah. so just do like 3 sets of 10. Yeah. Anyway, so that was Wednesday. Thursday, just ran 45 minutes for 13s. And then Friday morning, we had to head down the coast. We had to be down there for lunch. So I got out and did an hour in the morning. And so after I did that sort of semi-session on the Wednesday, I thought, well, I'll probably now not do a session till the Saturday. Did an hour at Mulligan's in the morning, 4:16s. And then that afternoon when we got down the coast, did 30 minutes. And, it's Killala Beach. So it's just between Ulladulla and Nowra, dead flat. Like I reckon it's got a bit of a Chukamoama feel to it. Like there's just no hill in this area at all, dead flat roads. I felt pretty rubbish actually after driving down, but because it was dead flat, he ended up rolling like 403s, and being on the road, I just never do anything on the road. So that was Friday. Saturday morning, the original plan was to get up and do the session, but I don't know about you guys, but when every time I'm away with people that don't run, I always find it very hard to, I find my motivation is quite low, because when I'm in my own little bubble at home and I'm around runners and I'm talking to other runners, it's like, yeah, running's cool. Running is what everybody does. And then you go away with people that are just not interested in running and they're going to the beach or they're doing this or they're sitting around eating cheese. And I'm like, oh, it's just really hard. So got up in the morning. I'm like, all right, I'll just go for a run in the morning and maybe I'll do the session in the afternoon. So I just did 35 minutes at 4:10s. In a way, I was just putting the session off, really. And then it got to the afternoon, and my two brothers, they were about to head down to the club and have a couple of beers and have a bit of a punt, and I was just like, oh, man, we're going to do this session. And the only thing that really got me out the door was I took down the Alpha Flyers, which had been in the box for about a year since we got them. I hadn't worn them, so I'm like, all right, well, that'll be fun, just testing out some new shoes. So anyway, the session I decided to do was a 15-minute tempo, and then a minute jog, and then 4 times 1 minute on, 1 minute float, and then 6 30-second on, 30-second float. So as I said before, like the sessions that the guys were going to do this week was like a 30-minute hilly tempo and a monofartlek. And I wanted something a bit longer than 20 minutes for my second session because, the first one wasn't that long. And so, yeah, just sort of made this one up, thought it's got a bit of monofartlek but a bit of tempo at the start. So
when you say tempo, Croak, you mean like threshold, a pace you can hold for an hour?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. So the main thing for me was I need to make sure that I'm comfortable doing this because I've only got 1 minute recovery before I go into fartlek. So if I'm running that too hard, the fartlek's going to be absolute, garbage. So, I ran like, I think, 3:11s for the 15-minute tempo. Felt really good just running, a minute recovery at sort of just under 4 minute Ks.
Did you run to feel or heart rate?
This heart rate looks accurate here. Do you have a...
My heart rate's not accurate there because if you look at it, it's like got to 200. My heart rate, like...
It's not jumping all over the place. It's kind of like, it's very steady.
Yeah. So, this looks accurate to me.
You're unfit.
I'll guarantee, as a 40-year-old, my heart rate has never got to 200, ever.
Yeah, it's at 200.
I
haven't seen 200.
200 at the end.
Yeah, I was 160 after like a minute.
Yeah, but it does represent, it does reflect the changes in pace.
It does, it does. But I just don't think the number's correct because if my heart rate's that high after a 15-minute tempo, I guarantee I'm not running 3-minute Ks or sub 3-minute Ks then for minute on, minute off. Like, it just, I would have cooked it. So,
Paces, isn't it, this is a side note, but look at the spikes on the 1 minute efforts. See how hard you go out and then you slow down. Can you see like the initial spike?
I do that as well when I do stuff like that.
Everyone does this.
You just go real hard for 30 seconds. You know who doesn't do it? Archie doesn't do it.
When I do rest of Archie,
I'm just like, hurry up, let's get this thing going. And then he just starts like 30 seconds into a 1 minute, then you can't hang on. Whereas I reckon I'll strike it early.
I reckon what kills a lot of people here is the lag with the GPS. So it ticks over, all right, run the 1 minute hard. And you look down after a few seconds and it's like, it's 3:20s. And I'm
don't
like,
don't look down after a few seconds. I don't look down until 40 seconds.
In a 1 minute rep, you don't look down at all.
Yeah, unless you've got a, if you don't have it set up in your watch.
Anyway. Finish critiquing here. So
we haven't finished yet.
3:11s for the 15 minutes.
So you could hold that for an hour, you said.
Oh, pretty close. Like if you.
I don't know if you could with your heart rate being at 180. I don't think you could hold it for an hour.
He's making a mockery of our.
That was the pace I ran at. Yeah, that's quicker than what I averaged last week.
3:11.
Have you looked at the elevation profile? It is dead flat.
Yes,
flat straight roads. Have you also looked at like the McMillan calculator? Put 14:45 in for 5K, and it's 3:12s for an hour. Hear that? Go on.
That sounds a little bit.
What's
biased?
The Tin Man one?
Huh? I don't know. Check it.
Tin Man's the best one to use.
Yeah, go on. I reckon it's probably similar.
You keep talking. Would you run 14:42 though, didn't you?
44.
Did you 44? I thought it was 42. I was telling people it was 42.
Thanks.
Is that how you coach? You just use the calculators.
14, 44. It does give a pretty good indication, I reckon.
Yeah.
Calculate. Hang on. What do you reckon? This says threshold for you would be 312 to 317.
There you go, 312. So I did it for 15 minutes.
You have a 5-second window and you went outside it. Yeah. What about your race conversion here, Crooks? What kind of half marathon shape you reckon?
I was also in a pair of springs.
68.07 and 221.51.
Those shoes are unbelievable. Like I'm warm up in like friggin' New Balance 1080s and like I'm feeling every sort of, I don't know, like hitting the road and I'm like, oh man, my body feels junk. And then I put these things on and just like no, I don't know, just felt pretty good. they definitely help for sure. Anyway, so
first wear's good in those though, isn't it? Like just that new feeling.
Yeah. It's a contrast though. It's a because you haven't put that much Zoomex foam under your foot with a plate. So there's a new shoe, the Nike ZoomX Invincible, you've probably seen. It uses the same foam as the Alpha. Similar stack height, but it's a training shoe. Spend a bit of time in that, then you go back to the Alpha. You don't quite get that contrast in softness and feel.
Yeah, and because I don't do a lot of training in these shoes. Like I've been using sort of the New Balance shoe, which is not quite the same sort of foam as what, you know, the Nike ones have. Plus, I think where I did this session, there was like really long straights. There weren't a heap of corners. I did definitely feel pretty ordinary going around the corners, but there were some really good straight sections. Anyway, getting back to the 1 minute reps, I was pretty much running around 3 minute Ks, floating sort of 330s, 335s. And then for the 30 second reps, was like probably average like low 250s. And similar floats, like mid 330s. So I ended up averaging 313s for the 30 minutes. It was a fun workout. Like I've never done that one before, and you know, working at a few different sort of few different paces. And when you're doing it off a float, like the session sort of progressively gets a little bit tougher. So I was really happy with that, how that went. And then Sunday, just 2 hours. I didn't really know the area that well, but it was pretty much dead. The only hilly section was I found a little bit of forest, and what averaged like 405s or something for 2 hours. 135K for the week. So a pretty big week for me. Especially, and it was really like back ended. Like I think probably ran like 80K in the last 3 days or something. So, but feeling pretty good.
Good. I'm just going to ask you something there for a second. Oh, when you were just away with your brothers and stuff, like you weren't just tempted just to go to the pub with them and just skip your workout?
Oh, I was.
Like, why didn't you just do that? Like, you've been training hard for like 15 years, mate. You can go just have a Saturday off.
Yeah.
I reckon you get up, do the workout in the morning, go to the pub in the arvo.
That was my whole idea. Mm. That was the whole plan originally. And then I'd get up and like my body's always pretty shit in the morning. It's like hobbling around and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to go and do this. And then I'm like, I'll do it this afternoon. And then the afternoon rolls around and it's like, oh, I can't push it back any further because I got to do a long run. But you would have experienced the same, Brady. You would have been away with
Bucks
non-running mates.
When you go on a Bucks party weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was good was I was wearing a new pair of shoes and it was a session that, yes, I've done 4 by a minute. And I've done, because I don't do the 15s for mine, or I just do 6:30s at the end. So I've done that aspect of it, but I just didn't do the tempo at the start. So, and I was, at the end, once I finished, I was really happy with how it felt.
Moose, what is he, 13 days out, 12 days out from Sydney 10? What's he going to run there?
30:20. Yeah.
That's pretty good going. Calculator's got him at 30:41.
Yeah, calculator, mate, but he's on a roll. Look at this.
I thought, I thought 30-ish. Like,
Yeah, you've had good ones here before, though.
And he's only improved since this calculator's going off his 14-44.
He's only got fitter. Workout's good. He likes these alphas. He'll wear them for the race.
Will you wear them for 10?
So 5 minutes ago, you've basically given me shit saying why are you running 311s for your tempo, like you cooked yourself, and now you're saying I'm going to run pretty well.
He's in 30:20, Shane. Yeah. He does run well, this one. It's got a good track record at Sydney 10.
Yeah,
that was a workout. I remember seeing that workout, going, "Oh, damn it, Croker could be the fittest guy on the podcast right now."
No, but one thing that did remind me of, like, I don't do any road sessions here in Canberra that are dead flat, and I'd imagine that this is exactly like what you train on at home.
Remember 2 weeks ago when you were saying, like, how can you do that in workouts? This is exactly why we do this every single workout.
It makes a big difference. I still reckon running over some hills in training is good for
100%. And we'd do it if we had options to do it. Mm. Yeah, like those just rolling hills, just build that strength to do those tempos and stuff on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of my week.
I'll tell you about that in my week when it comes up. We tried to hit a golf course up. But anyway, Moose.
Go on.
Me to do my week?
Yeah, do your week.
Yeah, I just had a real down weeks because I was recovering. Monday I did 30 minutes after we got home from Canberra, so sitting in the car all day. Beat up legs from the half marathon. Tuesday I did 10K, 444s. Wednesday I did an hour at 443s. So legs were still pretty shot by Wednesday. Thursday I did 70 minutes in the morning at 437s.
These are pretty slow runs, aren't they?
Yeah, halves bang me up though. And sitting in the car for 6.5 hours as well. Like, I don't think that's good for you coming home. So it wasn't, that was Wednesday. I was still pretty sore. No, that was Thursday. And then I had a massage with my regular guy. And he's like an old butcher, so he's just got these massive hands. And he just, like, worked me so good. It hurt, like I was in a bit of pain on the massage table. But for my afternoon run, I felt a million times better. He kind of said I was a bit out of aligned or unaligned or whatever that is. He always tells me stuff and then I just kind of don't ignore him. I just don't know what he's talking about. But I kind of dropped a couple of low 4 minute Ks at the back end of my Thursday jog. So then on Friday, we went to the Rich River Golf Club, Moose. You've been up here for this place, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Throw up a few times in that course.
Yeah. A few people said that, actually, after they saw that I was training there, just reminding them of times they've been drunk on our golf trips around there.
It's something about that course. I think it's because it's so cheap.
Is it so cheap? It's a pretty good course, though, isn't it?
Oh, there's two courses. They're both really good.
Yeah.
It's got the worst, like, restaurant in the world. Just the worst food you'll ever eat.
They've done it up, though.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, okay. They've done big renovations and stuff. Put a mini golf course in there as well. Anyway, I think it's improved. When was the last time you were here? How many years ago?
Fuck, 2003.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
2004.
We went out there and we just wanted to do like a tempo run because we've got Jales Park Relays coming up in a couple of weeks, which is like cross country on grass and stuff. And I wasn't sure how it would go training out here because, as you said, it's like 36 holes, pretty popular. I wasn't sure what the greenskeeper was going to be saying when we're going to be hooking around there. But we got out there at 6:30-ish, I think it was, and then kind of hit the golf course at about 7-ish. Found this kind of like 4K loop that we could do, not so much on the fairways. The fairways and that are so good out there, you feel bad running over them. So we kind of followed the fence of the golf club, which was kind of like pretty rough, but kind of cutting in and out trees, and we could get a bit of rhythm going. Oh, there was one stage, one of the holes is out of action. So they've put these like rope paths up to go like around that hole. And it's exactly the same as like NCAA cross country courses, you know, what you see on the TV. And I'm like, oh, this is great. It feels like we're in a cross country race, yeah? So we did, two and a bit laps of this like 4K loop of the golf course at like, I'm calling it tempo. So like, yeah, I call stuff like threshold and then tempo slower. So like for 3:29 pace for this stuff. It was kind of like 10K at 3:29s over. There's a few little bumps in there. I wouldn't call them hills. But the best thing was just being out of rhythm and just running someplace new. The greenskeeper did wave to us at one stage, so maybe we can keep getting back out there. And then the golfers started rocking up just when we were cooling down, so we kind of timed it well. Got out for 7K in the afternoon Friday, 4:35s. 16K Saturday morning at 4:29s. And then 8.5K, 4:13s in the afternoon. And same thing, felt like I was rolling and pretty recovered. For that one, and then we went out to Barmer again, did 25K, 4:20 pace, Archie, Nathan Stoat, Glenn McMillan, so good little squad out there, saw some horses again, and then I did get out for 6.5K Sunday afternoon, just 30 minutes at 4:37s to give me 132 for the week, a lot of jogging in there though, only 10 decent K.
Yeah, Bit of a, on the long run, you got a comment from Sean Forrest, mate.
Yeah, yep. You know him?
Got a few shuckers, is it?
A few shuckers. Bendigo boy, Sean Forrest.
My eyesight's not good enough to...
I think it's thumbs up, praise me, and then the bicep.
Yeah, I can't see on the computer.
You know Sean Forrest, he's a quick guy, 13-20 something.
He's a, yeah.
He's a legend.
Who did he run for? He ran for?
Arkansas. Mike Power.
Yeah, and...
same one.
Mark Fountain.
Oh, Mark Fountain run over there as well, yep.
Yeah.
So he's back in Australia, obviously. He's been back for a while, but he's moved to Bendigo. And he's become real chummy with Andy Buchanan. Like, they go out for coffees and stuff together, and then... Yeah, there's rumours around that he's pretty fit again. He might be chucking on a Bendigo's bat singlets this coming winter.
That would be exciting.
Which, have a, like, listen to our team, though. Like, you got Andy, Sean Forrest, so, like, two sub 13, 45 guys. Me and Archie rolling around. Nathan Stoat, a couple of kids from Bendigo. Like, jeez, I wouldn't want to be a Division 2 team. You're looking at an average 5K time of, like, 14:10 in there, I reckon.
Yeah, but guess what? Guess what?
Run Division 2 and no one cares.
No one will even know because you're back somewhere like 2 minutes behind everyone else.
We only start like 20 metres back from you guys.
And it's easy to talk it up before the season.
Yeah, we'll see how we're going. Now we've got some high levels of commitment, I reckon, this year. So our Div 4 team's looking good too. It's going to be hard to get a spot in Div 2. But anyway, that was my week, jogging, and then, yeah, just kind of used that whole week to kind of recover. That was the goal for the week, and then back into things this week. Booked my flights to Launceston the other day for Launceston 10 and Gold Coast Half Marathon. They're my next two big races. Plenty of time for them as well.
If, Lonnie, this is a lot of the top runners in Australia are going to be doing their... Lonnie 10, Gold Coast half double.
Yeah, actually. Brett Robinson's doing it. He said that on Road to Nowhere last week. I think a lot of people will.
It's going to be a real good... A lot of the Olympians will, I reckon.
Yeah, before like that, yeah.
It's going to be cool to watch.
Should get my email in early to see if I can get a free entry at Lonnie.
Yeah. It might have run out of free entry.
That's about the only thing I'll be getting, I reckon. Free entry. See if that get that pass. Tell us about your week, Moose.
Yep. I'll whip through my week. Do you like that?
Whip through it.
That's what you always say.
Oh, do I? Because I always just like, by the time it gets to me in third, I'm just like, people got to be sick of hearing about these weeks, so I'll just whip through my week.
Third fastest marathoner should go third.
Third fastest, yeah. Jeez, I'm never going to, I need to find a marathoner. I should have done that one in bloody Sydney this week just to try to improve it a bit.
You'd win it at that time, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about that later as well.
Yep, so Monday, drills and strides.
I'm just looking at your blue bars in your last 2 weeks. It's you've gone from 35K to 155K.
Yeah, smart. Talk to the coach about that one. So Monday, yep, ran around Anglesey out and back on the Cliff Trail. All the trails down here are a bit muddy, so we stuck to the good one. Went up this staircase at the scout camp. Gee, it's a nasty little bitch. Like, basically, you might be able to see it in the run, how steep it is. It's just so, it's basically a staircase. Going down, it's worse than going up it. But, yeah, drills and strides afterwards. Then ran with Ali later that day as well. Next morning, got up early. Really good sunrise. Worth getting up, and then drove to Ballarat. All worked, then ran. Boy, in the end, it was 15.66, but it was planned 16K. But by the time I got out of work, it was sort of getting dark, and the wind was crazy up here. I reckon it was probably 60K an hour. It felt okay though, but you know, after it's a long day, waking up super early, running. Then rushing everything, drive for 90 minutes, work for 8-9 hours straight, no real breaks or anything, straight into a run. You kind of cook yourself a bit. Next day, did a workout down on the Yarrawee Trail. So I wanted to get away from anywhere fast because I knew this wasn't going to be a good one because I lost a bit of confidence after the half marathon and I had still got this knee niggle kind of hanging around. So I wanted to get back to a workout that that wasn't really pace focused, and I had a like the early in the week my heart rate had been really high on my jogs, so I knew this wasn't going to be a great workout, but I went out and ran a Moose Fartlek, so five sets of 3 minutes steady, 1 minute jog, 1 minute hard, 1 minute jog. And I did, the trail that I'm running on is like a dirt track. It's pretty flat, really. It's kind of just a, it follows the creek, the Yarrowee Creek. So it drops downhill and then comes, then you sort of turn around, go back up the upstream. High, like there's not a lot of hill to it, really. But I did this to feel. So on my watch, I didn't have pace showing. I just kept it. I just didn't look at my watch at all, to be honest. It was just running to feel. So I wanted to try to hit what I considered steady, and then hard is pretty easy to hit. Hard is easy. Like hard is you just run fast, but steady is the difficult one, because steady at the start of the workout should be probably quicker than steady at the end of the workout, because you've got the fatigue in your legs and you sort of lactic levels are higher and everything, so it's a bit of a tricky workout to get right.
Do you reckon steady is the right word for it?
What would you use?
Well, I use the same as you, because your workout, and when we do it, I use the same terminology. But I think sometimes, like, I guess if you said you went on a, you know, you turned into steady pace at the back end of your long run, or you did like steady tempo, whereas this is kind of like 10K, half marathon kind of pace.
That was, yeah, but the effort I was going for was actually that steady effort. So
you're off the line of a half marathon.
Yeah. 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 So I misjudged the
threshold.
Pace. Yeah. So, yeah, because that was my first workout since, for like 10 days, right, after the race. So I was pretty fresh in that regard. And so the first 3 minutes at 3:11, it was probably a little quicker than I wanted, but it felt steady. Like it didn't feel bad at all.
But it felt harder than half, like you went like, it felt harder than half marathon effort. Like if you had to, you know, at the end of that 3 minutes, you went, if you had to keep running this for another hour.
No, like, no, at I wouldn't that be able point to do that. It felt like that. It felt okay at that point. That's where I got in. That's where I need to relearn these things.
Depends on how fit you are, yeah. And how exactly, your confidence is and what surface you're on and all those kind of things we're talking about. But I'm just trying, for the listener out there, when you prescribe this, and there's a lot of people do the Moose Fartlek, like it's growing, because it's a great workout. We're doing it tomorrow, actually, up here. And like, so what, when you just say steady, it can get a bit confusing. Like, I know, I think I've asked you this when you first gave it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like in between, like say at that pace in between a 10, like never look at your pace, but think a pace in between like 10K and half marathon.
Yeah, that's about the right pace if you want to use pace. But
and if you're on a flat,
The beauty of this workout is it's done to feel, not pace.
Yeah.
So I like to find a rhythm where you're running fast, but you could hold it for a long time.
Yeah. And that's, I love doing it, not knowing, not having to look at your watch. Build it into your workout so it just beeps into your watch, and then just have fun. And we used to get in a bit of a trap of always doing it the same place. So then we wouldn't know what pace we're going, but we know where we finish.
Yeah, see how far you get. Yeah. Yep.
So then you're like, we've got to keep the foot down on the floats to beat that marker.
I think you can look at your... So you should come off the three-minute rep and be able to go straight into a jog that feels fine, whereas you come off the one-minute rep, and because it's hard, high intensity, there should be like a 20 to 30-second stretch where... You're kind of shuffling, or you're not shuffling, but you're having to really sort of lower your heart rate. That's how I approach this one.
And would you agree that you should finish the fifth set, and you probably could do a sixth set if you had to?
Not necessarily. Like, you should always finish a workout like that in general, I think. But I feel like you can go pretty hard at the end of that 1 minute. I feel like this is a long enough workout where you can get to a point where you don't need to be like keeping a lot in the tank. this you could do this multiple ways, really. You could do this a little lighter in like a taper or a return, like I did, like a return to training kind of plan, or you could really get after this one if you wanted. You could turn those 3 minutes into 10K pace and those 1 minute into like 3K pace, and you could really hit it, and you could do those rests as more of a shut. Oh, well, you could do it that way, but I would
shuffle. Yeah. Brady, can you please do it tomorrow by running 10K pace for your 3 minutes and 3K pace for your 1 minute, but float the recoveries? Can you please do that?
I'll give it a go. Have you seen Archie and I do this workout?
You would do two sets of that and you'd be cooked.
Floating would be hard. Anyway. Keep an eye on my Strava this time in 12 hours, though. We sometimes do three of this on a taper week. It's a great session, 18-minute session. You're only working for like 12 of the minutes. Like it's over before it gets hard. It's great.
You can also change the 3-minute rep to a 2-minute rep. That makes it a bit more manageable. Sort of cuts the time down, so you're down to like 25 minutes instead of 30 minutes, and you don't get that last little sort of kick of lactic build up in the two minute rep. It was okay. It was a good return to run. Like I got it finished. The main thing is I got it finished for me, because I was worried about not even finishing it. My confidence is so low when I hit this one. So I ran down by myself, ran with the shoes on the back. Got this great trick. You know, some of the Nike shoes come with shoe bags, and they've got like the string kind of shoulder straps. Yeah. You know those ones?
I've been doing those spike for years.
Bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, spike bags, whatever. Well, got these. Bree helped me with this one. She gave me a headband, like an elastic headband thing, and I tied the middle section up, and then she gave me a hairpin. And so you can connect the straps together in the middle and put the hairpin down to lock it together. And then you can run along with this like really tight, like it's almost like there's no movement whatsoever. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant plan. So I can do the warm up, run like 4K with the shoes on my back and not a problem.
And then where do you put your jogging shoes? Like hide them in a bush?
I just chuck them like behind a tree or something. Yeah. So that's what I did with this one.
More blue collar to carry your alpha flies, which is what I did on Saturday. Carried them for four and a half K.
What? And then where did you hide yours as well? Behind a tree or something?
Just in the bushes. Yeah, my trainers.
Do you know, though, those alpha flies are so big, they're actually terrible to carry for a warm-up. You know the old streaks and stuff you could just collapse in your hand and
just fold them into your palm, yeah.
The alphas are fucking enormous. You've got to like fully outstretched hands to try to carry them.
Why don't you design one of those bags, put a logo on it, and then sell them at the shop?
Oh, it's a real niche product, that. Mm. I don't think a lot of people require those bags, to be perfectly honest.
Not everyone likes spending money like Moose does.
Yeah, I don't know how many people jog to their workouts. Anyway,
tell us about your workout, Moose. What'd you run?
We're still on this.
Yeah, I haven't done the first rep yet. So, anyway, I went 3:11 for the first one, 2:59 for the hard, 3:13 for the steady, 2:56 for the hard, 3:10 for the steady, 2:58. So at this point, everything's going pretty well. Then I got to 3:18s for the next rep, and I was starting to sort of cook it a little. 3 minutes for the next minute, and then the last rep I ran 3:21s. And by this stage, I was like heart rate. I had a look at my heart rate throughout this, and the new Coros on the workout. Like if you make a workout and plug it onto the watch and sync it up, the recovery screen is your heart rate. And so I was like, oh shit, I'm I'm getting to the end of these minute jogs and I'm still above threshold on my heart rate. So I knew the next rep wasn't going to be great. And I hit 3:21s and then 3:08. So a little bit of a cooker, but got the work in. Wasn't great overall, 8.5K and 3:32s. I actually noticed that the evening before, Ali ran a fartlek further and faster than I did, so That was disappointing.
Ellie nearly beat you at Launceston, though. So it's
pretty, no, she did. She was a kilometre behind.
Oh, I know. Her PB's nearly similar to yours. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot that.
Kilometre.
I thought she ran. I know she's run 68, though, hasn't she?
No, she hasn't.
Oh, I thought she ran like 68.55 or something.
Sinead did. Ellie was just behind Sunshine Coast, 69 low.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Just Googling that to make sure I haven't got it wrong.
You can Google, but probably should know that one.
Yeah, that's, I'm trying to catch her out here.
So anyway, that evening I ran...
You were correct, by the way, 69.14.
Yep. So I drove back to Anglesey and ran when I got home, so it was pretty late, pretty dark. Got the blue collar coming back, feeling like I need a bit of blue collar again. I reckon that's what it's missing. So rolled that. Thursday morning, ran early because I had a Thursday morning. What did I do Thursday? Gee, I had to get up early for some reason. 14K. I was supposed to do 16,
yeah,
but the next
shoes.
Yeah, next percent launch went off, so I got on board. I called it quits early. Got back just to make sure there were no website issues, that kind of thing. There weren't, by the way. It went pretty well. Jogged in the Arvo. I did a bit of gym. Jogged in the Arvo. With Ali, she's a notorious half stepper. So the next day, did a workout. So went to the Chocolate Factory and did mile, tempo, mile. So again, this was supposed to be a bit of a confidence builder. We adjusted the paces from the initial plan. The initial plan was 3 minutes per K for the mile, then 3:10s for the tempo, and then again, 3 minutes for the next mile. So we adjusted it to 3:05, 3:15, 3:05. But the first K, I kind of got rolling a little bit. You can look at my Strava graph. You see how quick I got real rolling early, bit of Brad Croker style, 2:40s to 2:45s, and then put it away. Ran the first rep in 4:48, so spot on 3 minutes a K, so too quick. And then jogged 3 minutes, so pretty generous recoveries on this. Then went out and back on a 6K tempo and averaged 3:12. But if you look closely and analyze everything like I did, we go down this dipper. There's like we call it the dipper, where you drop down, the road drops down into like a hole and then comes up the other side. And coming up the other side was at about the 4K mark of my work of the 6K tempo, and it got my heart rate up. And for the next 2K, I couldn't quite manage to get my heart rate down, and I could feel that, and I started to feel like, oh, this is a little rough. And I went into what I've started to call like fight mode, where you know things are going. You're getting hard, and you embrace that, and you start working harder to try to match the hard. Like the difficult level becomes higher, and all of a sudden your effort level gets higher. But at the same time, you don't realize that you've actually increased the pace, making things even more difficult. So this is a bit of a trap that I get into when I start to feel like things are getting difficult. That I basically just switch off and go, okay, I'm going to go hard. I'm going to finish this. Like a little bit of good self-talk, but all of a sudden you get a bit carried away with it, and then you start running quicker. You're actually making the workout more difficult than it's what it's supposed to be, just to kind of, just because you get in this sort of fifth gear mode. And I need to be aware of that when it comes to marathon training, because that is not very good behavior. Do you ever get in that mode where things get difficult and so you start running faster than you should?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Moose. It's almost like you go from, you know how we talk about not being able to get yourself up for training? And it's like you like that for the majority of the session, and then all of a sudden something triggers. It's almost like, oh, this is how a race feels. And you almost get a bit of adrenaline, like to just get yourself through the session. And yeah, you do. Yeah, you pick it up a little bit. Almost like you pick it up a little bit, trying to maybe, knowing it's starting to hurt, banking a little bit of time, so you can maybe back off a little bit at the end. and still hit what you want to hit.
I kind of just make the mistake of associating hurt with running harder and not being able to go, it's okay for it to hurt. You don't need to get faster here. You can hurt it. See, if I stay at 315 at that point, run 315s, after a minute or so, it will feel easier again. But what I did was run 310s, 305, 310 to match the effort level, like the hurt level, and it gets quicker and quicker, and my hurt level remains the same. Is not a good way to do it. But anyway, got it done, 312s, jogged 3 minutes, and then rolled a mile in 4:44, which is a little quicker than planned, but, you know, at the end of the session, get it done hard. finished the workout, was pretty happy with how it went. I've only done 2 workouts since the race, and this was much better than the first one. So roll on marathon training. I got more stuff. I got more runs. So ran that night in Torquay. Saturday morning was real early, but bit shit. Come up with this brilliant metaphor. Oh, it was so good. I run along. Because the new Coros doesn't have music, you spend more time thinking than listening. And so I'm running along, and it was a real shit sunrise. And I'm like, geez, the sun comes up every day. Some days it comes up sensational. Some days it comes up really average. It's just like a person, you know? If the sun can't pull out like 10 out of 10s every morning, how is a person supposed to? Thought that was brilliant.
Nice move. <Yeah.
laughs> Bit too much time spent by myself lately. Next morning ran with the Surf Coast guys. We had some visitors, actually. Joel Tobin White from the other podcast that goes on, the B-Grade podcast, was on, Road to Nowhere. He came down. He was staying down here with his family. He rocked up and tried to tell me he's going to run 210 in his debut marathon. And then Toby was there as well. So Toby came down from Ballarat for the long run. Everyone wants to be on the Surf Coast. Pretty good. 30K, 4:13s. Heart rate was higher because we got going in the second half. We really got after it over the hills. Felt good to get going on a long run. That was it. That was my week. So I think it was about 150K or so. Yeah, got a couple of workouts, which is also nice.
Good week.
Yep.
How many weeks to Gold Coast? 10.
Wow, I think.
12. Oh, plenty of time.
Brady, do you feel like the wise moose has lost a bit of his wiseness recently? I feel like the last month has always been, yeah, fucked up this session, fucked up this session, need to get my paces right. It seems to be a common trend.
You can't always get it right, mate.
You didn't meet yourself. For a guy that always trains pretty smart and knows where his limits are and what he should be doing and how he should be feeling throughout each session, you've probably got more wrong than right over the last month.
It's a sign of insecurity. That's what this is. I'm insecure with my own fitness.
I was going to say that same thing. You seem like you're low on confidence, and it's like you are rating your fitness 90% on the performance at Hobart, not the 12 weeks you did before that.
Yeah, well, that's...
Like you were the fittest guy on the show.
Yeah,
I was going well. Yeah.
And it's all of, like, there's a lot of... like, I rate myself now based on 214 me. And so when I'm doing workouts that aren't that level, I get disappointed. Mm. And I wonder if I ever get – will I ever get back to that level or not? And so I feel like when I go out and do a workout, I want reassurance from that I can reach that level again.
But 214 –
maybe you should retire Moose but keep running, and then it takes the pressure off.
That's true. How many times do I have to retire before it really takes the pressure?
Just once, Moose. Just do it once.
Okay.
214 you is like maybe 4 weeks of a calendar year. Like the 2 weeks leading into, you know, 2 of your main marathons you're going to run. You're not in 214 shape year round.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I've done workouts similar when I've – anyway, don't –
We're just worried about you, mate.
You shouldn't be worried about me.
Croaks has got the crowd at the moment. You're probably the third slice on the show at the moment.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
If we raced, it'd still come last, I reckon.
Depends what distance. Actually, no, it doesn't.
So the old moves would have been confident as their brand.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to Patreon supporters. Their confidence, they're putting confidence in us to support us financially. Kick us off, Krogs.
All right, I've got Annie Moohan this week. Annie lives in London, has run a 155 half marathon time trial, did that in March. He's going to aim for a sub 150 when races return, 49.06 for 10K, 22.54 for 5K, has a nose ring and a pair of those sunglasses like the ones that Jack Rayner wears. So thanks for your support, Annie, and hopefully you get to race a half marathon soon.
Yeah, race is coming back over there, London. Yeah. They're back. Who are you thinking, Moose?
I've got Jake Moore. He's from Campbelltown, New South Wales. He is coached by Joel Tobin-White. Now, that's a bit of a worry because...
Well,
a number of reasons.
Yeah, and if you look at this, Moose, what you're about to say, there's absolutely nothing here to do with his running. Yeah.
I think he's just got back into it, though. He's just got
back
into
no running stats here.
Found some other good stats on Jake, but couldn't quite find too many running ones.
Did you listen to Road to Nowhere where he was spinning that shit about not cooling yourself with water during a race?
I listened to it, and as I'm running along listening to it, I've got, you know, there's that picture of you where you're chucking a cup of water over your head at Doha? That's the image in my head as he's explaining that you shouldn't do that.
Some of the most moronic stuff I've ever heard in my earbuds at any time is... Oh. And, you know, like Nick and Ali are sitting there thinking, this guy is just talking pure shit right now.
Brett Robinson was there as well.
It's such confidence, though, that they're kind of like not questioning it. Oh, it's a problem. Anyway, Jake, don't listen to him about that stuff. I'm sure he's got very good sort of running training philosophy, Joel, but doesn't have an idea about that. Anyway, Jake is a very good fisherman. He has a kayak with fishing rods on it. Maybe has a history as a stockman, cowboy, or horse whisperer.
That's gold.
Good stuff. Jake, see you at a race soon or a rodeo.
Yeah, get some times on the board, Jake. Welcome back to running. I'm going to thank Aaron Scott from Stramford in the UK. Listen to these PBs, fellas. 14.09 for 5K, 30.06 for 10K, 65.50 for the half marathon. And probably the most impressive one, I think, 2.16.57.
14.09 is more impressive.
Than 2.16.57?
I think so.
At Frankfurt, Frankfurt Marathon. I think that was a couple of years ago. He's run Frankfurt a couple of times. I think he represented England somewhere as well. He got a vest. But I think it was maybe, I was trying to find this out. You know when like Nick Earl got a vest for doing like Toronto Marathon? Remember that?
Nah.
Yeah.
What was that for?
They send like development teams for the guys like not making the Olympics and Com Games.
It's not a championship. It's not a team. It's not a vest.
No, but they put him in the vest, which I think is good.
But it's not, I don't know about that.
Right in, Aaron. They have this like development teams they send across. His mates with Clousy, who was from on, Road to Valencia. Past guest as well. Also pushes a double shot on his coffee machine twice. He sent me a video of him doing it last week.
And works
full-time in e-commerce. Not sure. I guess that'd be like selling stuff online, wouldn't it, Moose? That's what you kind of do now.
Yeah, probably works with Shopify or something.
Probably selling shoes online or something. So thanks to those Patreon supporters for their support. Really appreciate that. Road to Nowhere is weekly over there if you want to support us and listen to that. A lot of people enjoying that at the moment. And, a whole lot of back catalogue episodes, series, all that kind of stuff. You can try it out. If you don't like it, you can always cancel. Running news, fellas. I'll kick it off. Des Linden. She got the 50K world best last week. She ran 2:59.54. to become the first woman to break 3 hours for the 50K distance. She averaged 3:35K pace or 5:47 per mile for the 50Ks to break the previous record by over 7 minutes. Her marathon split was 2:31. Linden does have a PB of 2:22 though, so a bit of a difference there. Quote here, for me, sub three was the big high-end goal, so it's nice to achieve that, said Linden, who utilised a male pacemaker during the event. And I hope the 50K does become more popular. Alison Dixon took a huge swing at it, took a nice chunk of time off it, and she's been so supportive of this effort. What do you guys think of this? Legit marathoner stepping up. Why does she do this? Is running sub three for 50K really that important to her?
Well, do you guys follow Desi on Strava at all?
No, not on Strava. I don't think I do on Twitter.
So I had a feeling that, well, so I follow her on Strava, and what it seemed was that after the US marathon trials, I think she had some niggles and stuff like that, and actually took some time off. And during the whole COVID period, she sort of just set herself like these different sort of challenges. Yeah, so right. There was,
didn't
yeah,
run
there
a was mile like a day, yeah, every day of, you had to run the
increased.
Next mile.
Yeah, so it was like maybe October last year. So she, on the first, she ran 1 mile. On the second, she ran two, all the way up to running 31 mile on the 31st. So I feel like it's almost that, just keeping yourself interested while there's no serious races around. I still feel personally that she would rate like her marathon stuff over this world record, but I obviously can't speak for her. But I feel like it's more of just keeping her engaged until proper races come back for her.
Do you think she's trying to stay relevant, like, to brands and stuff as well? Like, she missed out on the Olympic trials and is now this stuff to get next to her name. Why she, you know, she's not going to prep and go to the Olympics?
Possibly. But, you know, there's been no real proper marathons for her to train for, especially coming off injury. So maybe she's just putting in a big base period.
Yeah. Moose, is the 50K now a thing?
Nah, it's not a thing yet until the best runners start doing it. Then it becomes a thing. And for the best runners to start doing it, it needs to have money injected. It needs to have, like, mass participation with it. And it probably needs maybe a spot in an Olympics or championships that people actually follow and watch, I reckon.
Yeah, right. And at least when they step up, they still need to be, like, close to their capacity. Like, she's ran 9 seconds off her marathon PB.
Yeah,
she's done
that's
next
right.
8K. Yeah. Like, if she went through in 2:25 and you're like, whoa, she really rinsed this. Like, she had and maybe she wasn't in shape, or maybe it was just set an easier goal of sub three. But until we see, yeah, you know, sub 2:25 marathon splits going through.
Well, I think
that's the first thing I think about every time. I'm just like, yeah, but what did they go through the marathon in?
Yeah, most ultras, like, most of the time, ultra runners, they go, oh, look, all these great marathoners have come across and none of them have ever been able to nail it. But they're always coming across at the end of their career when they're pretty much done and their bodies are ruined and their motivation's dropped. If you need to get Des Linden, you need to get 2:22 Des Linden across. Mm. And then you'll sort of see some real times drop. Then you get a 2:05 Kenyan across. You know, he'll go through in 2:10. And just absolutely destroy the world record.
Mm. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there in the next couple of months, years. We're talking about 50K in the future. NN Marathon, Moose, I think you watched the most of this out of all of us. See Kipchoge go around?
Yeah, it was pretty boring, to be honest. I'll be real. It was they run around an airport, pretty much 5K loops. Kipchoge was up front with two pacemakers next to him and one fellow competitor, and what I don't like is you barely get to see Kipchoge. He's always in, whenever he races, he's always huddled in a group. Mm. He's like looked after, and you never get to see the great man. So I had to go out for dinner at like the 25K mark, and you'd barely even seen him. You couldn't like get a look at him. The cameras couldn't get on him because he gets protected so much.
Camera quality was poor as well.
Yeah, and I'm getting a bit over these like stage races too. It there's not a lot of interest for me watching it for 2 hours, basically, of just run around an airport. Like, the commentating gets old. I mean, granted, they've got to find something to talk about, but it just starts talking about shoes every single time, which frustrates the shit out of me. And yeah, I didn't love, like, he ran, what did he run, 2:04 something?
2:04:30.
2:04:30, so
that's a great, obviously, that's a super fast run, but it's not like he's breaking 2 hours. It's not like he's going for the world record. So yeah,
one by 2 minutes and 10 seconds as well, like it was daylight second.
The interest was low, and they didn't really, they gave no splits for the ladies, really. It was pretty average coverage of the second, like, or the ladies pack. And I mean, they ran, a lady ran 2:25, I think, the German girl.
Katharina Steenruck, yeah.
Yeah.
So, 2:25:59.
Yeah, so solid run, but again, there's just not a lot of racing going on.
Yeah.
And there's not, like, the lack of spectators even makes it a little dull to watch.
Mm, it did look really, like, barren out there, didn't it? Like, just no atmosphere going on. Why did Kipchoge do this? Do you guys know or have a, like, the Olympics isn't far away. He's not getting any younger.
My suspicion is he put one on the board to help his selection
case. As if they were not going to pick him.
Do you think probably not.
Do you think London would have had him scared a bit? His performance at London?
Yeah, I do. And all the other amazing runners coming up, running these half marathons and stuff, yeah.
Maybe he's a bit like Moose and just needed a confidence builder before London. But
sure, he would have. Given this guy doesn't race ever.
He only runs marathons, doesn't he, too? Never drops down to a half or a 10.
He's not a robot. I'm sure he has ups and downs in his confidence.
Yeah.
Because, like money-wise, you wouldn't expect it. Like it was an NN marathon, which is his sponsor, so maybe they chucked him a few dollars, but it wasn't like rocking up to a major city marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I found it was odd. Didn't watch much of it myself. Let's talk about Australian Athletics Championships, though. They were on, I think they kicked off Thursday for the Open guys. The juniors were going earlier in the week. Some amazing races. Every time I turned the stream on, it was like credit to them. It was always, like, never running late. You could turn it on. They were on the start line. You could watch it. Good HD coverage. Men's 800 will start there first. Peter Boll got the win, probably the favourite. He ran 1:49.2. Jared McAuliffe was second in 1:49.6. And Jack Lund, the young fella from Victoria, 1:49.8. In the women's 8 as well, Katrina Bissett, as she does, gun to tape, 2 minutes flat, 0.45. And the young lady, Claudia Hollingsworth, was 2:01.75. Tess Kersop-Cole was third in 2:03.85. No surprises there, fellas. Any comments about the 2 800-meter races?
I was actually surprised. Like, Peter Boll had won nearly every race this season off the front. And then he got to the final, and he changed his tactics dramatically. He sat in the pack. And I was like going, whoa, you've had such success running a particular way. And then it gets to the final, and all of a sudden you change your tactics and you sit back in the pack and you do things differently. Like, I was surprised at that. I thought he would use a winning formula and get on the front, and basically he was the fastest in the race and he could have won off the front. But in the end, the best man in the race won. He did, by kicking him out hard. And but yeah, I just thought that was an odd move, almost like I don't know. Have you noticed that?
Guys will run. Races are pace, though, aren't they? All the other ones. So he just sits on the pacemaker for 500.
But in the heats and the semi, he did the
difference. Did he? I didn't see that. Yeah, I just saw some of the highlights.
Yeah, he was off the front and he did it comfortably. And I'm like, okay, this guy should do that in the final. He's got this thing, like, he knows how to do it. He's won so comfortably against the same athletes, basically. He should do that in the final, but he changed his ways.
I think for him, though, just winning the national, because he doesn't have the qualifier yet. Like, he's come so close. But if you hear him talk, like, he's confident he's going to get it. Like, they'll have races set up in Queensland over the next couple of months. And so, obviously, winning the national title was the most important. And, on paper, he was a fair bit quicker than all the other guys. And as Brady said, all of his other races where he's been chasing the time has been paced for 500, 550. So I guess it was a good way of just practicing championship racing. And that was probably the most fascinating thing for me, this whole national championships, was certain people had qualified in certain events, and how were they actually going to run the trials to either get themselves on the team or try and get a qualifier if they didn't have a qualifier. So obviously men's 800, Pete didn't have the qualifier, but he's now won. So he's automatic as long as he can get the time. Whereas Kat Bissett, she all she had to do was cross the line first. Didn't matter what time, because she's already got the the qualification standard. And so now she's obviously booked her ticket to Tokyo.
She's won a lot of races doing it that way too, hasn't she? A few people have gone with her with 600 to go, like 600 into it, and she just blows them away. Very strong racer. Yeah.
She is good. And yeah, good on her. She's the exact example that I was sort of talking about. That's how she wins races, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, race with her heart on the sleeve kind of thing. And you can hear that in her press conferences and her emotion afterwards as well, which is good to see in athletics sometimes. It can be robotic. Let's talk about 1500s. Let's go Lyndon Hall in... this was Saturday night, wasn't it? This was the day before the men's. She got the win. Probably no surprises there. 407.5. Abby Caldwell was second, 408.6. Genevieve Gregson, 410.3. Plenty of drama in this race, though. There was a stack at maybe 400 metres to go, and that few people had to go around. And then Jenny Blundell, who was in the lead pack, just walked off the track with 300 metres to go, who was a Rio Olympian for 1500, did win the Australian 5K Championships. And previous to that, in the New South Wales 5K Champs, also stepped off the track when she was winning. So there was a bit of follow, a bit of drama. And then Lyndon went to the front, and then Abby kind of come back at her with 100 metres to go. I kind of thought, oh, Lyndon might be in trouble here. But similar to Kat Bissett, found another gear down the home straight and, won unthreatened on the line. Good to watch, though. Good racing. Dramatic.
Yeah, I was the same as you, Brady. I thought, when Lyndon went to the front, she'd just run away with it. But, yeah, down the straight, you're like, oh, Lyndon may not be booking her ticket to Tokyo tonight if Abby came over the top of her. Like, I think even if she finished second, she would have got selected. But luckily she held on. And I heard that Jenny has had some like calf issues.
Okay.
And so that's the reason why she stepped off.
Yep. And then the men's Sunday afternoon. This was fascinating to watch the heats, fascinating to see how they all qualified in different ways, because the three heats were quite different. Stewie's heat, he went straight at the front, took Jordan Williams with him, massive gap, and then they kind of jogged the last lap, but got the automatic spots. A couple of the other heats were kind of just a few guys kicking down, looking over their shoulders with 50 metres to go, making sure they're in the top three or four, whatever was auto. But then the final rolled around, and all the big names were there. Stewie, Jai Edwards, Rory Hunter, Ryan Gregson, Matthew Ramsden. That made up the top five, but we'll talk about the race first. Stewie goes through the first lap in 55, and Jai Edwards, the young fella, 23-year-old, who we've been talking about a bit on this show the last maybe month, but not much in the 180 episodes before that, went with Stewie, held on to him the whole way, went through 800 in just over 152, I think it was, and then outkicked him with 50 metres to go to take the win. He ran a PB and got under 335 with 333.99 to book his spot on the men's 1500 metre team for the Tokyo Olympics. This had me out of my seat, this race. When they went out this fast, I instantly just got off the couch and was like, whoa, okay, this is really interesting. I wasn't expecting that from Stewie. We know he's capable of it, taking it out fast like that and running a quick time. But to see Jai latch straight on, and then I just fascinated with the decision-making from Matthew Ramsden, Gregson, Hunter, to make that split decision to not go with that pack and letting those two guys run away with it. I don't know if they were banking on them hitting a wall and slowing down kind of thing, but they got away, and then it was a two-man race the whole way pretty much. The others came in. Well, Stewie was second, 334.5. Rory was third. Rory Hunter in 337.3. Gregson fourth, 337.8. Matthew Ramsden, 338.5.
This is a race that we've hypothesized about for basically since Zatopek, I reckon, when we started to talk about like who could be on this team and the auto qualifying spot that was available. And I asked the question, has Jai Edwards looked like losing in a single race this year? Like, for me, I can't remember ever watching a race where he didn't look like the winner 200 metres out. And it kind of was the same again in this race. At 200 metres out, he looked the winner. you could sort of see how well he was moving still. His face hadn't touched the breeze. He was locked in behind Stewie the whole way. But there is something just beautiful about his stride and the way that he can just increase pace without looking like he is. He's a smooth mover, but smooth movers still need an engine to go along with it. And he has the engine. He had the bravery to go with Stewie out at that pace, knowing quite well that he was a 3:35 guy, and they went out at 3:30 pace. Like, there's a lot of risk involved with that. He could have gone out, could have been 50 meters in front, could have had a lot of egg on his face in that last lap if he tied up and got passed by 12 guys, but took the chance. And look, that's what you get, risk versus reward. The reward is enormous.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it? Because he was probably the fourth in line before this race. Like, Stewie had the time, Ollie Hoare had the time, obviously still based in the US, didn't come back for this, and Matthew Ramsden had the time, whereas he didn't, and now he's jumped to booking his spot on the plane. And there's three other guys that aren't going to fit into two more spots. So what happens now?
Well, that's, I reckon you've got Matt Ramsden there, Ollie Hoare sitting, and they've got the same thoughts in their mind going, fucking hell, Stewie. You could have made that third lap a bit slower, like, because you've just dragged Dreyer, you've dragged him around, and you've basically, the worst possible situation for those two guys has just occurred, with Jai taking a spot away from the already qualified athletes.
But isn't that what you love to see from Stewie, though, going, I'm just going to race this and try win the way I know how.
Yeah, look, do you think that was what his thought process was?
I think it was. I think he was like, I'm the fittest and the fastest in this field. Whoever's brave enough to go with me, let's go. I don't think anyone can hold on to this heat. And take Jai out, it would have won by 3 seconds if Jai wasn't there.
Do you think at the three lap mark, one, or like, say, at the 8:50 mark, or the 1K mark, do you reckon Stewie should have gone, you know what, I'm not shaking him, I probably should conserve a little bit, let him do a bit of work, I need a kick left? Do you reckon tactically that's what he should have done?
It's always easy in hindsight, isn't it? But I guess yes it is, because he got beaten. But yeah, it's hard. But he does run people off their legs, Stewie. That's how he's so amazing.
Well, in behind him, he's going, I've run 3:30, Jai's run 3:35. He exactly, can't keep up with. I've got to keep the heat on him.
Yeah.
Keep the heat on for another lap.
I'd love to. I should have maybe tried to call him, because it would have been good to like ask him, like, did you expect to have four on your shoulder or one, or did you expect to have none on your shoulder? And like, I'm fascinated by the conversations, because you've just said, like, Matthew Ramsden must be like, why did you do that, Stewie? Like, they're training partners and teammates. Like, do conversations get had before the race that are like said, hey, we want two of our guys on this team, please don't go out there and pace Jai Edwards?
They're still individuals.
Yeah.
Like, they're training partners, but they're also competing for the same title. They're competing for the same glory,
yep,
the same spots on the team, the same bonuses in their contract,
yep,
and the same contracts. They're all competing. Like, it's not like MTC is going to go and run against Telford squad and the win is going to be MTC. It's Stewie versus Jai versus Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So do you think, the next question is, does Stewie even do the 15 at Tokyo?
Yeah, well, we don't know that. I tried to ask him
when we got him on for that Zatopek live stream. I asked him then, but he didn't give anything away.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Because that could be, otherwise Matthew Ramsden, I think he's just missed the 5K time, hasn't he? He's run 13:16. I think he needs to run 13:13.
Yeah, there'll be some people. There's going to be some flights going to Europe. Don't worry.
Yeah, to get into fast races, you mean?
Yeah, for sure. There will be. There's going to be. These guys aren't just going to stop and go, oh bugger, didn't make it. They're going to go, where can I get this time? Where, like, what races are on? They've got Nick, who gets them into, like, he's the best man in the world on their side right now to get you into races that others can't get into. So it's not over yet.
Yeah. Steeplechase.
Just before we move on. Yeah, just...
Here we go, like, Moose. He'll say, remember this Jai Edwards I've been talking about in months.
No, no.
He's from Canberra.
I can't wait until we do the year in review because if you go back to the tape, I did mention Jai Edwards for one to watch. But, like, this is for Jai. Like, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. Mm. Like, I often try to put myself, like, nowhere near the caliber of these athletes. But you try and put yourself in their shoes in the lead up to this race. And I'm thinking to myself, Jai wakes up yesterday morning. He's not going to the Olympics. He's on the cusp. He's probably thinking that the race is going to be somewhat tactical. Like, he's probably not going to be in a position to run under 3:35 just because it's a national championship and winning's more important. But he probably wants to finish top two and then hope to get the time somewhere else. And then the race happens. He goes with Stewie. At what point, like, during the race, does he realize how fast he's going? And when he gets up onto Stewie's shoulder and goes past him, like, does he start to think, holy shit, I'm going to the Olympics? Like, that's the stuff that, like, you get goosebumps when you think about it if you're in his shoes. And even when he crossed the line, like, for a guy that's, you know, this time last year injured, like, the Olympics probably weren't, well, if the Olympics happened last year, he wouldn't have been there. Like, to cross the line and still not just lose his shit, like, it was real sort of cool, calm and collected. And even the post-race interview, it's just like, dude, like, you've just made the Olympics, but you're still just, I don't know, real down to earth and
very classy, dude.
Yeah, it was just, it was incredible. And you also got to remember, like, his training partner, Rory Hunter, like, he was injured in December. Both of them have not strung together more than, like, a year straight. And, you know, Jai could potentially come out and help Rory now try and find another 2 seconds.
Hmm.
So, it's I'd hate to be a selector.
And then you got Ryan Gregson, who's like half a second off that time as well, who you'd assume will go to Europe and try to get sub 3:35.
Yeah. So but that, I was like you, Brady. I was just like, so my brother was just about to leave the coast and, like, they were saying their goodbyes. And I was just like on the couch just watching this, just going, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah. Well, I was messaging Moose as it was going. I think we were just swearing pretty much the whole time. Like, just like, this is. It was just, and it's, I don't know, like, as a fan of the sport, we watch so many tactical kind of 1500s and kickdowns, and they're good to watch sometimes because it's messy, you're not sure, it's a bit of an unknown, but this was just from the get-go, like, wow, these guys put on a really good show, and as a consumer of the sport, you're kind of thankful that they went out there and raced that kind of style of running.
Like, for Jai, it's getting you better, the fact that, one, you've got your first Olympic standard, you win nationals, and you beat the Australian record holder, and, like, that morning you go from not going to the Olympics to booking your seat. It's incredible. That's what's awesome about the sport.
Steeplechase. Genevieve Gregson won that in 9:36.8. So big weekend for her. We've won a heat, a final of the 15, and then this 3K steeple. Cara Fian-Ryan, I think young girl from Queensland. She ran 9:38. It was a massive PB. She was with Jen Gregson the whole time, which was pretty impressive to stick to her for that long.
She looked good.
She did, didn't she?
I mean, obviously, Jen, the class athlete.
And ran out front the whole way.
Yeah, Cara was real good here.
Yeah, and Paige Campbell, who went to the World Champs with you, Moose, 9:46.7. So Jen's got the time and now got the win. So she booked her ticket to Tokyo. And the men's had plenty of drama as well. They're all sprawled out in the track after this one. James Nipperis got the win, 8:30.1, to Ben Buckingham, 8:30.5. Edward Trippis was 8:31.09. Race of the two out in front, though. Bucks went with probably two laps to go, gapped them, and then just over the last water jump, you've seen it so many times in the steeple, the last water jump and the last steeple with about 50 metres to go, Nipper just almost stalked him and got him just on the line, pulled him in, went over the top of him. The epic race to watch this one as well. If you haven't seen the finish of this one, we'll try to put it in the show notes. Definitely watch it for sure. Did you see this one live, fellas?
Yeah, I saw this one, and you feel for Ben Buckingham, like, when his legs aren't working properly.
Yeah, so good.
Like, hey, run. I thought for a minute he was like celebrating, and then I'm like, oh no, he actually can't run at the moment. Like, his legs have gone into rigor mortis and they won't move at all.
like concrete.
And being so close but so far, like just, yeah. And that Nipper just went to the arms and just grind it, just pulled him. Yeah, because he had quite a lead that Nipper pulled in.
Yeah,
because so, 600 out, you thought, oh, this is Canberra and this is you know, the Queensland track classic all over again, where Ben's just sat in and just slowly pulled away from Nipper. But yeah, it was an incredible finish. But and you know, because neither of them have got the Olympic standard, both of them at this stage are going to rely on the point system. So
yeah,
I hear that both of them are still inside that quota at the moment. So they'll be looking for some other races to try and find a few extra points, I think.
Mm. And yep. That's the thing with, like, they're inside the quota at the moment, but the European track season and American track season hasn't started yet. Mm. So we're going to be the early ones. But, yeah, I guess getting over there would be the one. But, yeah, great weekend of athletics, some great Australian performances throughout the whole weekend. Other part of the news today, fellas, is there's this Sydney Athletics Australia Marathon. It's this weekend. You guys seen all the press and promo about it?
That's funny.
This Sunday. Time has not officially been released, but people in the race have told us it's 7 a.m., haven't found any start lists, not sure about live streams, not sure about if spectators can go watch if you're in the Sydney area. So this is Monday night when we're talking about this, and hopefully something comes out sooner rather than later. But the big news was during the week that Jess Stenson is not going to race. This is from the Adelaide Advertiser. Jess's Olympic plan's over, but only for this year. This is only the very top of it because it was behind a paywall and I couldn't read the rest of it. Marathon medalist Jessica Stenson cannot compete in the Tokyo Games because of a bone stress injury found last week, but she's already looking ahead. That's all I've got. Didn't have enough money to sign up for Adelaide Advertiser paywall. But sad news for Jess, and obviously takes the headline act out of that marathon that was coming for this Sunday.
Mm. I did get asked to pace, actually. Got a phone call during last week.
What, to pace Jess?
No, pace Ruth Croft, is it? Kiwi female that's running.
Oh, yeah. So this is the other thing. It's all, we know 10 people are running, but until we see it all on a start list, it kind of doesn't mean much. Like, obviously, Michael Roger's running, Nick Earl's running from Road to Nowhere. Like, you can follow some people on Strava and you know who's running, but it would have been nice to read through an official list and be able to build up some stories and stuff. Disappoints me. But no, Jess is the big news. Alan, yeah, must well, be relieved news.
Yeah, and it was classy by Jess, because when she found out, she let Ali know pretty much straight away, which was good of her, because it was a relief for her, for Ali, of course. It does make this event a little interesting this weekend, considering Jess was probably the only athlete in the field with a chance of running the time. Well, the only Australian athlete anyway. I'm not sure about Ruth, where she's at or whatever, or the New Zealand athletes that are in the race. They might be, I've got no idea of their fitness or their goals, whatever. But yeah, it's going to be a pretty low key event, I think, based on the rumors I've heard about the start list. Again, you know, we haven't seen it. I think AA are probably trying to make this as quiet as possible, because I don't think it's going to be a real spectacle of an event.
Yeah, hopefully Jess recovers. Well, did she say what it was to Ali Moose? Bone stress, like it's a stress fracture? Foot, do you know where?
I think it's a little rare, actually. It's a really rare one down near her knee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know the specific details, but it's I think it was femoral, like right near her knee.
That's all we can give you about that at the moment, listeners. As I said, hopefully something pops up. Listener question, Croaks.
All right, this week's question comes in from Heaps Good Runners. Hey guys, got a listener question. In marathon training, from my understanding, the consensus seems to be that high mileage training is the most effective way to run your best race. Just wondering if you fellas have any personal experience or know of any instances where athletes have been able to run great marathon times off higher intensity and lower mileage training. Would you advise an athlete to go down that path if they were time poor? Thanks for putting out a high quality show every week. Cheers.
Good question.
Heaps good.
Heaps good. best meme account on the internet, isn't it? Run a meme account.
It's very good.
Very good. In marathon training. So there was a point in there, just wondering if I was, where athletes are able to run great marathons times. I think that depends on what your expectations are. You know, I've had some guys that might run 60, 70K a week, you know, take their PBs from 255 to 245. And in their eyes, that's great marathon times when they're juggling a family and they haven't been running for that long and all those kind of things. But do you think he means more like elite performance?
I think he does.
Okay.
I think he does.
Yeah.
That's just how I'm reading it.
Well, is this the stuff we're seeing in the UK at the moment where the lady who won their trials, doesn't she only run like five times a week, four times a week? Yeah, Steph Davis. Yeah, that's right. That's what I meant.
I heard 80K a week and does bike. I think she does a lot of cross training. So does a lot of time with the heart rate up, endurance activities, but not specifically running. Then now that, like, say you're training for a marathon, you run 80K a week and you run a 35K long run.
Yeah.
Then that's leaving you 45 kilometers spread across 6 days. That's not a lot of running.
Yeah. But then it depends on how intense that 35K is for the individual, though. Like, they might need to just have Monday completely off, Tuesday just like a 4 to 6K easy jog, and then they might be back into their marathon-specific workout Wednesday, and then you kind of might have Thursday off, Friday a little jog, Saturday a little jog, Sunday hitting the other long one again.
Traditionally speaking, like, we've always thought that you need the volume in order to support, or it's like the backbone behind those long runs. You need that accumulative volume to sort of develop that aerobic system. And all the physiological changes that come with high volume are very marathon specific, almost. Not marathon specific as in pace, but in supporting the system required for the marathon. Whereas you can run a great 800 meters off very low mileage because it's a lot sort of more anaerobic, fast twitch of a race. But the marathon, you're sitting below your threshold. You're sitting in an aerobic position for a very long time. And one of the best ways to develop that is volume. And so it says time poor. So would you advise an athlete to go down that path if they were time poor? Well, maybe. But most of the people who are trying to run elite or very fast marathons, they make time. So they'll get up earlier. So they'll run in the dark, maybe. They'll run tired more often. They'll find time. I'm not saying that that heaps good runners is lazy, but I'm just saying that
he's probably quite time poor with all the Instagram hours.
Yeah, true. He's very, and I mean that.
Or she, Sinead.
But if you're going to commit to a marathon, you probably want to find the time. I guess if he's saying if you've got an hour a day to train, should you make that hour? Should you do 3 workouts a week and a shorter long run and no real jogs in between? Should you prioritize it with high intensity running? I still don't think that's the answer.
No, definitely not. I still think, like, so getting to the elites, the only elite that I've heard of in recent times to not have run supposedly a lot of miles but run quite a quick marathon was Jake Robertson. Got on and spoke, you know, that his weekly mileage wasn't actually that high, like maybe 130, which, you know, for a guy that's run, what, 2.8, 2.9, yeah, it's not a lot of mileage.
I thought he said he didn't track it.
Well, no, I reckon there was a period, I reckon on maybe the first interview, like there wasn't, he definitely wasn't high mileage, I don't think. Like if I had to run low mileage in a week for, say I was restricted to 80K, I would probably only run 3 times a week, but they would be long, like they'd be long runs. Because like I'm even finding it now, like my mileage is not very high. I'm doing some decent intensity, but I'm not marathon fit because I'm just not doing, one, the volume and the longer runs. So if I was restricted to low mileage, it would be less days of running, but longer runs.
Hope that answers your question. Heaps good. Keep up the good work. Moose on the Loose, Perch of the Week.
I did buy something this week, actually. I did buy something, but I forgot what it was. It'll come to me.
Another quarter zone.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that next week. No, I did purchase something, but, yeah, again, can't remember what it was. The Moose on the Loose. Look, did you guys watch the ladies' steeplechase?
Yes. Yes, I
now,
did.
Now, I think the national championships, you could make the event by qualifying with a qualifying time. And I believe that if you finished in the top three at your state championships, you also made the event.
Yeah, correct.
Correct. There was the ladies' steeplechase. This actually presented a bit of a problem, I thought, because early on in the race, there was people getting lapped. And in the final lap with, I think it was 500 meters to go.
I watched this, yep.
There was absolute carnage at the water jump,
yep,
with about three lap runners trying to go over it and the leaders coming past. And one of the lap runners stopped in front of the jump, got up, and basically stepped over and just jumped into the pool. And if that's actually a really dangerous situation, if you have ladies coming screaming up behind there trying to compete for a national championship, to have that occurring, it's almost like there should be some sort of limit where if you're getting lapped in a national championship, you almost get pulled off the track, I think, in order for safety to like occur and for the girls to be able to race properly without having obstacles in the way.
So you reckon DNF if you're about to get lapped?
Well, it's a national championships.
But what if they're racing for like, because they might have been racing for like seventh spot though.
Yeah,
go back to their community and say they come seventh at the Australian championships.
It's a really tricky one. I understand this, but I felt like maybe if you can't hurdle a water jump, perhaps you shouldn't be running in the national championships.
And it probably shows the depth of some of those state championships for people to come third to then get their ticket for this one.
Yeah, the easiest way to have it would be to, and I think they actually went through a period where they didn't allow top three from a state championship. It was purely a qualifying time, which like I think that would be okay as well.
Yeah, so look, it's a tricky one because they've earned their spot there legally, and it's nothing against them at all. I just think it just created this very dangerous situation, and everyone was like, "Oh no, what's happening?" Like one girl gets stuck. Luckily, they all seemed to negotiate it pretty well, but all you would have had was one girl get stuck behind or land on the other girl, and their race is over.
Yeah, well, Jen, she threaded the needle. She snuck through him, and then Cara went around him. Remember that? But then Cara made up the gap a bit, like back in the straight.
Imagine
if that was 2 seconds earlier or later, it could have been really chaotic.
Yeah, in normal races, that's cool, but national championships, I'm just not sure whether that's the sort of scene we want.
But then, like, you look at Zatopek, like, I nearly got lapped twice by Stewie in a national championship.
Yeah, they should definitely have pulled you off.
coming from the guy that wasn't in the field. What else is coming up, fellas? What's coming up with you, Croaks?
What's coming up this week?
A couple of big 10K specific workouts this week, wouldn't there?
Not really. Going to do a track session tomorrow with a bit of 5K work and 1500 or 3K pace stuff. And then maybe just some 2K reps and 1K reps on Friday. And then, yeah, it's our wedding anniversary actually Friday. So
Five years.
Dump the kids with his parents for the night and go out.
Take her out on the town? That'd be nice.
But yeah, and then a quiet weekend. The last two weekends have been a bit hectic for me. So it'd be a quiet weekend.
What are you doing, Moose?
I'm going to have a few days of light running.
or even no running tomorrow, and then a couple of days of light running. Then I got my first marathon workout on Friday.
Can I guess what it is?
You know what it is.
3x3K, 500 meters float between.
It's 4x3K.
4x3K, I was close.
4x3K and...
500?
500 float, yeah. Yep. So do that. Jog. I'm gonna do it conservative. I've made it. I read this quote, not a quote, but I read it. I'm reading a book at the moment, and it touches on Bill Bowman's coaching philosophy. And one of his kind of things was he would train his athletes at the start of the season or the start of the build up as the athlete that they currently were in terms of their fitness. And then they work towards training to the athlete that they want to be towards the end of the season. So say they're aiming to run a 4-minute mile, but at the start of the season, they're in 4:10 shape. They'll be doing their repeats at 62 and a half pace, and not 60 pace. And as the season progresses, you start to turn into that 4-minute miler. That's when your workouts start changing. And it's something that I reckon that's the trap I'm falling into right now.
Oh, so many people do. Imagine like the people who want to break 3 hours for the first time. So they Google sub 3-hour marathon program, get a 16 week PDF they download straight from Google. But it's like, you need to be.
Don't you sell those?
No, we do personalized plans.
You do the sub 3-hour program.
Yeah, we can coach people to sub 3 hours, but you got to write their program at the start for what shape they're in, not for the sub 3 stuff straight away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. That's the point. Yeah.
And so, on that, Moose, on that about sort of training, I guess, within yourself a bit more, I've thought about doing a little experiment. So one of the guys I've been doing a lot of my sessions with, he ran 15:45 at that Sydney 5K that I did the other week. And I thought to myself, if I was to do every single session at his pace, like he will continue to improve because he's quite new to running. But if I was to train as a 15:45 5K runner and then just go out and race when he races, like what would I actually run by doing that? I thought that'd be a pretty interesting experiment.
Yeah, you'll never know, will you? You'll never know.
Maybe I should. Maybe I should do that.
That could be your next little challenge. You get Hungry Jacks if you pull it off.
How long are you going to waste on that? 8 weeks?
I don't know. We'll see. I'll think about it. I've mentioned it to him.
Yeah, anyway, we're done. That was episode number 181. We'll put our 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere's episode last week, bit off the rails last week, but see what the first 20 minutes holds. And we'll see you all again next week. See you, fellas.
See you, boys.
See ya.
It's the weirdest.
All right. Welcome, all right, guys, all right, to the episode. Going. Oh, shit. Sorry. I thought I was done this week's.
Oh, go on.
Do it, Joel.
I'm totally kidding. Fuck off, the two of you. Go.
All right. Okay. Let's get this rolling. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 10 of the second season of Road to Nowhere. I'm Nick Earl, and I'm actually on the road to nowhere, I think, because I've got no information whatsoever about the marathon I'm doing in 11 days' time. So this show is pretty named pretty well, I reckon. Welcome to my co-host, the winner of the 2006 Best MySpace Page, Joel Tobin White. Oh, I read that out earlier. That's quite funny. I forgot.
I've never let that down. I'm going good.
You deserve not to live that down, Joel, because it's
pretty amazing. Joel Lexi 94.
the other day, we were testing, Brett and I were testing this email thing for Pulse, and we were trying to, because it wasn't going to Hotmail accounts, and I said, oh, I've got a Hotmail, and I told him, I go, yeah, it's Joel, and I just said it off the cuff. I was like, oh, it's Joel _, and then I looked, and I went, oh, I've gone too far. I'm going to have to tell him. And I'm like, XC? And he just goes, you're kidding. And I was like, And then I had to make it as noise as a joke. And then I was like, underscore running rules. And then he goes, oh, you're just taking the piss. And I'm like, yeah, just taking the piss, man. But
that was so your actual email.
But XC was definitely still in there.
So that try was referring to biking, right? Not like cross country.
No, that was definitely cross country running.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way worse than if it was biking.
Yeah, yeah.
That really
so
is.
So what no, was your Hotmail? Was it Joel underscore XC at Hotmail?
Joel underscore XC underscore 94 at Hotmail. And the rules. One before that was Belch From Below, which is when I was like in grade 5 or grade 6, I had a book that was funny words for farts. And one was a Belch From Below, so I thought I'll make that my email account. And it wasn't until God. It was probably at the age of like 9 or 10 when I was like, okay, I've probably outgrown this one. I'm gonna need applying for jobs, and I'm like, yeah, just send that one to Belch From Below at Hotmail.
How funny is it when you get someone's email address as an adult, and it's like, you know. Sarah underscore something 69.
It's like, oh, you're born 1969?
Mine was pretty sensible, actually, but Johnny, he came up with jboyjohnny@hotmail.com. It's a classic. But anyway, welcome to my other co-host, by far the best runner on this podcast, Ellie Pashley. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Nick.
So my PBs are better than Ellie's.
Yeah, you guys are both faster than me.
Yeah, are we going to the Olympics?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to the Olympics yet either. So
bullshit, not with that attitude, you're not.
Anyway, right, let's get into some weeks. Ellie, are you ready?
Yeah, I'll go first because I did basically nothing. Yeah.
All right, let's move.
Why don't,
so
yeah,
I did no sessions.
Do Ellie's week and then we'll call the Ring of Friend, yeah?
You can say who it is, but anyway, all right, we'll call the ring a friend after Ellie's week. Yeah.
So my week was no sessions, 45k.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I ran like between 6 and 8k every day.
Did you go, so because the race was on Sunday, the Hobart
race was on Sunday, yep, so I had Monday off.
Yep.
That was my first rest day in like maybe 6 months or something, which was nice.
Shit.
You broke your streak.
Yeah.
How bad a running streak. Anyway.
Yeah, so then I just jogged and did some strides and surges, maybe 3 of the days. But I was actually pretty crook last week too. I had a chest infection, so it came at a good time.
Shit.
Yeah, my heart rate was really high even when I was running like 5-minute Ks. So, yeah.
Well, that's the time to get sick is, when you're kind of, I mean, did you get sick after you'd started like having time off, or, cause that happens quite a lot to runners who, when they taper and stuff, they start getting sick.
Yeah, I reckon definitely. It was more, the race that day. Cause we just didn't get any sleep and I don't know.
And then you drunk too much.
Yeah. So I reckon I was like a bit run down already. And then that just tipped me over the edge that Sunday. And then, but I feel fine now.
Were the legs banged up?
No, my legs were actually fine. I didn't have any soreness I was surprised. My legs felt, I didn't actually feel like I'd done a race, which was good. But I didn't really, like it wasn't, my time wasn't that fast. So I wonder if maybe even though the course was kind of hilly, I wonder if running that little bit slower meant that my legs were okay.
Yeah.
How were your legs after it?
Oh, yeah. A bit dodgy on Monday, but because I'm still in high mileage though, so I was feeling it a lot more.
Yeah.
Whereas, because
you
took
a big week.
Yeah, I had another big week to do. So whereas you took Monday completely off. Yeah, I think if I'd done that, I'd have been fine. But yeah, Monday was a bit rough, Tuesday a bit rough. But anyway, we'll get into my week.
Yeah.
Right. So I saw 100 days until the Olympics. Was that today?
Yeah.
So basically, is your build going to start soon?
Yeah. So this week I'm going to go straight back into a fairly high mileage week. And then, because we don't know, like they haven't picked the teams yet, I'm still waiting to hear, but I basically have to just plan as if I'm going. So I'll do another month probably of normal, or another 4 weeks of normal training, and I'm going to go to Queensland for a little bit, and then I'll start doing marathon training mid-May.
Yeah.
If I get picked in the marathon team. Yeah.
Okay, but you're definitely going for the – so you're going to double up?
Oh, no, for the Olympics.
Marathon and shot put, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, I actually used to do shot put when I was younger.
Hey, Ali, so did I, but doing it and being good at it was two very, very –
What's hang on, what's your PB? What's your PB?
I can't remember what it was, but it was always on at the same time as like the 800 or the 1500 when I was a kid. Doing little laps. So I used to like go do my shot put throw, go run the 1500, then go back to
You're the first
the pudding ring or whatever you call it.
You're the first person in the history of little athletics or senior athletics that is good at both distance running and the shot put. Those two things cancel each other out.
Joel, what's your PB for the man's for the big ones?
I have no clue. When I was doing it, I was doing it with the hacky sacks or the bean bags.
Well,
in under sevens they give you the real shot puts, but I stayed with the bean bags for about until under 14
because your arms were too skinny.
I developed the arm thickness
of a three-year-old. You can't do this.
But discus like 86 meters, I think.
Oh,
yeah. I'm totally good at discus, way. Ellie's listening to me of all people. Like, 86 meters. That's quite good at discus.
So I did. I did it a couple of years ago. Just did the shot put for Melbourne Uni, just for points. Guess how far I got it.
How many kilos is it?
Seven? I reckon 8 seven. Meters.
Oh no way! I'm gonna say like 4.5.
Oh, it was 5.6. And I was
really? Yeah, I was way better at shot put than that.
Oh, all right. I thought I was doing well. I was like, over 5 meters. That's way more than I thought because I can hardly lift the bloody thing. So,
what do the Olympians?
They do like 20 meters, though. And I was like, yeah, all right. Need to do a bit of practice. So if Jess does beat your time, do you then nominate for the 10K or what? How does this all work, Ellie?
Oh, so I've nominated for the 10K already and the marathon. Okay. Yep. They're on the same day. So,
right.
But Jess isn't running anymore. The trials, the Sydney race.
Isn't she?
She's injured.
I found that out today from Brett.
No way. Oh, wow. So who the hell is doing this race?
I don't know. With the girls, I actually don't know if there'll be anyone.
Yeah, really?
Because I don't know of anybody else who's doing it.
All I know is, like, Dave Ridley's planning on it. Roger is planning on it. And Brad Karlefeld actually sent me a message asking if I knew anything about it.
Brad Karlefeld, there you go.
Yeah, whereas
one of Joel's mates.
Certainly not his mate, but he was a big dog back in the triathlon days.
Yeah. And he's planning on doing it, but he didn't have any more information than I did. So I sent him an email today asking whether there's a hotel, whether we've got a start list or pacemakers. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's so close.
11 days' time. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know whether I'm supposed to bring some form of ID or whatever. You know, like, got zero information. It's just ridiculous. You know, I'm now thinking, like, maybe they'll cancel it. I don't know. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
It'd be a shame if they – I hope they don't cancel it, though, because – all of you guys could have done Canberra or Hobart, you know?
Yeah. But
and
that's
pretty annoying if they cancel this, because then there isn't really another one until Gold Coast, is there?
Yeah, exactly. And I've just done my final session, you know, just now. So, you know, I think I'm in actually half decent shape. Like, yeah. So
annoying.
And I've booked my flights to Sydney as well. So. But then again, I'm going to stay with some friends up in Newcastle for a couple of days before it. So, like, you know, if they do cancel it, at least I'll have a bit of a holiday. But still, like, you know, it's kind of not knowing, like, 11 days.
Especially before a marathon, because you really need to be mentally prepared, don't you?
Exactly.
For all the details. Have they got start times and stuff? Do you know any of that?
All it says is between 7 and 10. You know, I mean, it's just
I'll pick it out.
it's taking the piss now. Like, I don't know. It's what is going on. So, I mean, I guess I haven't really tried. I've emailed Didik like last week and nothing. And then I emailed someone else at AA like today and haven't heard anything back. So
who did you email today?
Michelle something who sent the original email about.
Is that Michelle_Beltram_below@gmail.com, right?
I thought it was I love running.
Michelle_XC_94.
Oh, come on.
I was going to say _XC_69.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so send her an email. Yeah, I don't know. It's ridiculous. But yeah, right. So you're pretty confident then now that the marathon. Yeah, I guess you should be for sure.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I still, like, I'm not going to be confident until they pick the team. But, yeah, it was actually really nice. Jess messaged me to tell me that she was injured, like, earlier than she announced it so that I could stop stressing, was pretty thoughtful. So nice. Yeah.
But
she said maybe for the London Olympics, she was sitting in third spot and she was waiting till the end of the qualifying period for someone to do a marathon as well. And she said she was like, she knew how stressful it was that whole time where you're just waiting to get knocked out. So,
but that during that time, you had all those marathons going on in like America and Europe. So like, yeah, someone could just pop up suddenly in like Frankfurt or somewhere, like a marathon you haven't really heard much about, and suddenly someone's there. Like Liam Adams did one in Poland and stuff, didn't he? Like, yeah, there's a lot. Like a normal year, there's a shit ton of marathons around that people can do. Whereas this year,
every Olympic period, it's like there's someone probably just sitting there waiting to, for people to do those last few ones as close to the end of the qualifying period as they can.
Yeah, and the British one, like a load of people have been stuffed by that because they're doing the Wrexham marathon, which is an elite only marathon. And I think that's on the 25th of April as well. So, yeah, and for them to have a team. And I think a few people were like banking on that one. But I think the organizers of the Kew Gardens one were really pissed off that they didn't get as much support from the athletes. And I don't know, this is speculation, but like, I think they've just gone, actually, if they're not bothering with the trials, we're going to announce the team early. Because
who else was there that was a contender?
Well, there's a few guys who are super fast half marathon runners who haven't really done a marathon and were just like, kind of eyeing it up, I reckon. So I think there's a few fast ones. And the contact I got at England Athletics suggested I do the Wrexham one if I was going to come over. And and then they suddenly, and I actually found out about them announcing the team when I was watching the trials race, like, live. Because I didn't receive any emails or something saying, oh, by the way, we're shutting the window early. Nothing. Like, it's just, and I just think they decided, oh, we've organized this. So, yeah, stuff anyone who's not here. It's just a bit of this, like, who the hell is in charge of these things? I don't know. It's just.
Well, I think technically, like, idiots. The AA window is open as well until the end of May. So if they wanted to, they could wait until June to announce it, I'm pretty sure, which is.
Pushing it, but as long as just be transparent, just like tell us what's going on, like that's all that needs to happen,
at least none of us are Charlotte Perdue, so that's just
that's what I'm thinking. It's the British athletics. I mean,
it's just ridiculous.
It's just an absolute joke. Like, who the hell is in charge? It's just arbitrary. I reckon a sprinter's in charge, to be honest, and they don't really give a shit. They're like, oh, we'll pick some skinny people, whatever. All right, now whatever. The relays, right? We really need to work out.
Back to Rick and Morty.
Bloody, ridiculous. Anyway, Ellie, that was your week.
Yep.
Joel,
45Ks. I'm going to lose this week.
I don't know. Joel hasn't gone yet.
I don't know. I'll probably, me. I'll be maybe. I might just push over that because I need to be post stall, but. Before we do our weeks, I'm calling a friend. It's my turn this week, and I thought I would call someone I know, mainly known in the running world as a famous coach, starting his business.
This is a long
starting a business. Pulse.
I'm bored.
This is like Nick Earl introducing someone.
To be honest, even I'm bored of myself. Known in the running world, Pulse running coach, Brett Robinson. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. And I just think I deserve a long introduction after all the coaching I do. Like, I'm very busy with Pulse Running. PulseRunning.com.au is where you'll find me working all the time. So,
Ali's about to crack it. Ali's about to go, fuck off, guys. You're ambush marking. And Nick doesn't give a shit because Nick's against coaching full stop.
Do you have any barefoot running coaches?
So, I thought I would bring on Brett. We did have Brett on way early in season one. I think we called him before London Marathon. But I thought we would get him back on because obviously I live with Brett and I have heard that he has just discovered his plan that he's going to be doing up until Tokyo. So I thought it's interesting for the people that like running to listen about Brett's plan. So yeah, when you start talking about that, Brett, I'll just disconnect because I obviously don't give a shit about it.
So. You sound nervous about having Brett on, Joel.
Nervous.
He's in awe, I reckon. He's in awe of Brett.
Starstruck. He's going to the Olympics.
All right.
Don't you have the same plan as me, Ellie? So you probably could have done it.
He actually told us at the start that he was getting you on to talk about your plan for the Olympics. And I'm like, well, I'm sure this will be the same as mine. But anyway.
It is. But it's because I was so disorganized with having to cook that fuckwit dinner that I Yeah, I'm all disorganized.
Shut up, Joel. Brett, go.
I'm just talking about it, am I?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it. No direction. No direction. Just go for it.
So, we actually have to wait for to be selected, I think. But there's still a marathon going on to see if anyone qualifies. But if no one does, then on the 3rd of May, me, Jack, Ellie, Sinead, and whoever else, like I think Liam and Lisa are invited, but that we're still waiting back to hear if they're coming. But we're going to go to Cairns for 10 days and start a bit of heat training. I think obviously with it being in Tokyo summer this year, it's going to be very, very hot. Sapporo summer, now it's been moved, but I think it's still going to be low 30s for the race.
Jeez.
But yeah, just start off with 10 days of kind of bit of heat training there. And then once we're back in Melbourne, it'll be once a week, probably in a heat chamber, just doing like a easy run, but just kind of try to keep those adaptations for the whole time through.
How come it's only 10 days?
I
think they get too fit otherwise. It's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Dangerously fit.
Yeah.
Too ripped.
So the physiologists say that you just need to get that 10-day to 2-week first like block. And then you kind of like top out of where you're going with your heat training. So it's not like you can keep just getting better and better at it. And you actually start to detrain a little bit because you have to
go train in the Sahara in like 56 degrees and you're just like, I'm going to get better.
Yeah, just train there for 3 months and see how good your quality is. So.
Is it because your sessions will be a bit slower because of the heat and you're not getting the same kind of adaptations from that? Is that?
So I think that's why we just do the 10 days. So it's like even if we have a few bad sessions, it's not really. And like it just builds up. I think like you could have, I don't know, get yourself into a bit of a hole if you spend too long there trying to marathon. So do that 10 days and then you just need to like touch on it like once a week or twice a week and that kind of keeps them going.
I haven't heard that theory before. Like, is that like scientific or is this like some...
I reckon it's a theory you haven't heard of.
I don't know.
We're not just...